Here's the brains.
Yeah, we'll pay you later on that. Okay. That's good. Folks, it is so good to be here. This feels a whole lot like home. Really, thank you. Really appreciated the worship this morning. It's always a blessing to see worship leaders leading worship. And you don't see that everywhere. We're in a different church every Sunday, sometimes two or three different churches on a Sunday. And we love our Foursquare family. So I want to remind you, if you brought your Bibles with you this morning, to leave them closed. Yes, Rod has done his memorization out of the New Living Translation, and since God gave you a good brain, if you're trying to follow along in something that is not the New Living Translation, you'll be making comparisons all the way through. You might miss what God wants to say to you. We don't want that to happen. We also, if you happen to have a New Living Translation, first edition, don't want you following along, because then you're just going to be tempted to see if he makes it, and not your job. The Lord is faithful, so just pay attention. God wants to say something just to you. Yes, you. And when he does, you might just want to make a note, unless you've got a really, really good memory. And because when we're done, we're going to ask you what you heard. He was all excited a minute ago. Psalms 146 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God even with my dying breath." Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When their breathing stops, they return to the earth, and in a moment, all of their plans come to an end. But happy are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the one who made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He is the one who keeps every promise forever, who gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts the burdens of those bent beneath their load of shame. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord will protect the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. O Zion, your God is king in every generation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. It's written to all of God's people in Philippi who believe in Christ Jesus, including the elders and deacons.
Just push the button. Yeah. Just push it until the light goes off. See, Paul knew all about wireless microphones. It's a little crisp, isn't it, dear? You can pull that top end down a little bit. You know, Paul knew all that stuff too. But I wanted to say something before I started. As Jenny said, we're in a different church pretty much every weekend. Traveled all across the country. I'd just like to say something to the worship team. Good. I'm just not sure. See, now from a musician standpoint, usually when you have this many musicians on the stage, your hair would be kind of going like this, you know. So often there was just such an appropriateness about musically what was happening on this platform today that the musicianship didn't overpower what God wanted to do in you as you sing. So you could stop singing and hear others around you. So good job.
Yeah.
Good job. I mean, really good job. Amen. And I have to admit, I don't get to share that very often. And this is the first time I've ever said anything. I just appreciate it so much. Just the cohesiveness and just the spirit that was going on up here. And just, good job, sis. Forgive me. I don't have a name to go with the... Sherry. Hi, Sherry. Good job. And it creates an environment in which there are no musical distractions going on that keeps us from the focus of why we came. Is that... Can you receive that? Okay. Okay, well, that doesn't sound a whole lot at all like what Paul might... Well, he might have said something like that if he was dealing with, you know, worship teams on the stage, you know. I'll start again. This letter is from Timothy and Paul. Actually, it's Paul and Timothy. Slaves of Christ Jesus. It's written to all of God's people in Philippi who believe in the Lord Jesus and to the elders and deacons. May God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, give you grace and peace. Well, I thank God every time I think of you. I always pray for you, and I make my requests with a heart full of joy because you've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now, and I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ comes back again. Yes. I just went through this. I should know this. It's right that I should feel as I do about all of you. You especially. That's not in there. Because you have a very special place in my heart. See, together we've shared the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out, defending the truth and telling others the good news. God knows how much I love you, and I long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. I pray that your love for one another will overflow more and more, and that you'll keep on growing in your knowledge and your understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. May you always be full, just filled with the things that Christ is doing in you. Because this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including all the soldiers in the palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have become more bold in telling others about Christ. Well, some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know the Lord brought me here to defend the good news. Well, those others do not have pure motives. As they preach about Christ, they preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But whether or not their motives are pure, the fact remains that the message about Christ is being preached. So, I rejoice. And I'll continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and as the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will all turn out for my deliverance. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I would always be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past, and that my life would always honor Christ. Whether I live or I die. For to me, living is for Christ. And dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I don't really know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live. Sometimes I long to go be with Christ. That would be far better for me, but it is better for you if I live. So I'm convinced of this. I will continue with you so that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith. Then when I return to you, you'll have all the more reason to boast of the things that Christ Jesus has done for me. But whatever happens to me, you must live in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ as citizens of heaven. Then, whether I come to see you again or just hear of you, I'll know that you are standing side by side, contending together for the good news. Do not be intimidated by your enemies. For this is a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given the privilege not only to trust in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. Look, we're in this fight together. You've seen me suffer for him in the past, and you know I'm still in the midst of this great struggle. Now, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Or any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, considering others as better than yourselves. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they're doing. See, your attitude should be the same that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not demand or cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Now, because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. In heaven, on earth, under the earth. And every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Oh, dear friends, you've always been so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Now, in everything you do, keep away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world filled with crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. Hold tightly to the word of life so that when Christ returns, I'll be proud. I did not lose the race and that my work was not useless. And yet, even if my life is to be poured out like a drink offering, to complete the sacrifice of your faithful service, that is, if I am to die for you, then I rejoice I don't want to share my joy with all of you. You see, you should be happy about this and rejoice with me. Now, if the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon. Then when he comes back, he can cheer me up by telling me how you're getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares for your welfare. The others care only for themselves, not for what matters to Christ Jesus. But you know how Timothy has proven himself. Like a son with his father, he's helped me in preaching the good news. And now I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. Now, in the meantime, I thought I should send Epaphroditus home to you. He is a true friend, a faithful helper, and a courageous soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. Now I'm sending him home to you because he's been longing to see you, and he was very distressed. You heard he was ill, and indeed he was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me so that I would not have such unbearable sorrow. So I'm all the more anxious to send him home to you because I know you'll be glad to see him, and that will lighten all my cares. Welcome him with Christian love and great joy, and be sure to honor people like him, for he risked his life for the work of Christ and was at the point of death while trying to do for me what you could not do because, well, you were far away. Ah, dear brothers and sisters, whatever happens, may the Lord give you joy. That ought to be an amen moment. I never get tired of telling you that. I'm doing this for your own good. Watch out for those dogs, those mutilators, those evil men who say, you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship God in the Spirit are the only ones who are truly circumcised. We put no confidence in human effort. We boast about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Yet, I could have confidence in myself if anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish family that is a branch of the tribe of Benjamin, so I'm a real Jew if there ever was one. And furthermore, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. And zealous, I harshly persecuted the church. And I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully, I was never accused of any fault. I once consider all of these things so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Jesus Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. See, I've discarded everything else, considering it as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. See, I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law. I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. As a result, I can. Really. Know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I might experience the resurrection from the dead. Oh, dear friends, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or already reached perfection. But I am working toward the day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear friends, I'm not yet all I should be. But I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Oh, I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree with me on these things. If you disagree on some point, I'm sure the Lord will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already. Brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I tell you again with tears, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal destruction. Their God is their appetites. They brag about shameful things, and all they think about is this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting his return as our Savior. He will take these weak, mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own, with the same mighty power he will use to conquer everything, everywhere. Oh, my dear friends, I love you and I long to see you again, because you are my joy and the reward for my work. So please stay true to the Lord, my dear friends. Now I want to plead with those two women, Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to Christ, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true teammate, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news, and they worked also with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Amen. Not bad. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Amen. Yeah. Good. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. And remember, the Lord is coming back soon. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you will do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now let me say this one more thing before I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep on putting into practice the things that you've learned from me and heard from me and seen me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Oh, how grateful I am and how I praise the Lord that you're concerned for me again. Now, I know you've always been concerned about me, but for a while now you haven't had the opportunity to help me. Not that I've ever been in need. For I've learned how to get along happily whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. See, I've learned the secret of living in every situation. Whether it's with a full stomach, an empty stomach, with plenty, with little, I can do everything with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength I need. And yet you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Why, even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. What I want is for you to receive a well-earned reward because of your kindness. Yeah, present, I've got everything I need. I actually got more than I need. I've been generously supplied by the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. You know, they are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable to God and pleases him. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs. By his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. I give my greetings to all of the Christians who were there. All of the brothers who were here with me send you their greetings. And all of the other Christians also send you their greetings, especially those who work in Caesar's palace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are under your hand, marvelously restored, but apart from you, we're nothing. We speak words, but we bring nothing here to this room that makes these words live apart from your Holy Spirit. So would you make your words live by the power of God, not by force of presentation or emotion, but simply by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Would you make your words live? Would you change us? We have been pretty transparent this morning, Lord, desiring to know your presence, to see your hand at work. Yes, we desire to see miracles, not for the wahoo impact, but because we see the living God at work. If you're here and you have never before taken the intentional step of trusting Christ for the issue of your sin, if you have never before invited Christ to be Savior, which means cleansing, that's what the cross did, the cleansing of your heart and soul and making you a new person and adopting you into God's family and requesting him also to be the Lord of your life, which means he orders your steps. If you've never done that before, and God's been ringing your chime this morning through the worship, through the prayer time, through the presentation of the word, and if God's been pulling your chain this morning and it's time to get right with God, would you raise your hand? Anybody? We ask this everywhere we go. Okay, we're not going to labor this or belabor it. Okay. Well, why don't you look up here and tell me what you heard? What did you hear? What stuck out in Philippians? Joy. It's actually referred to often as the joy book. Yeah. Peace. Be bold. Courageous. And courageous. It's interesting, neither of those... Oh, yes, said become more bold, yes, okay. Yeah. Encouragement. Yeah. Unity? Yes, unity.
Don't complain.
You would bring that up. Don't complain. Why shouldn't we complain? It usually leads to the other thing he talked about, arguing. most arguing starts with a complaint. Someone else?
Contentment.
I'm sorry? Humility, humble, be humble. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they're doing. We don't do real well in America with this thing of considering others as better than ourselves, do we? we haven't had any real good training in that. Most of it is pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, a phrase I've never understood. How many boots are in the room? Yes, I saw those. I saw those, Kirk. Yeah.
Be content.
Be content, yes. Along with Karen, yeah. Anybody else? Oh, yes, that was in there too, wasn't it? Love one another. Every knee shall bow. Every knee will bow. They will. Every knee will bow.
Don't argue.
Don't argue. You like that one.
Calling to trust the Father in endeavors.
Trust the Father in endeavors. Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Commitment.
You know, another one I hear in the gen is also surrender. You know, this is commitment. This is surrender. Yes.
The fact that the world around us is crooked and perverse is not an excuse to go into hiding. Our light should shine brilliantly in the dark.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep. Yep. That's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Strength. Yes. Yeah. Through Christ, God has given us the riches of heaven. We don't believe it. Most of the time. You know, it's not that we don't want to. It's just that I'm not sure we do. We struggle with that concept. But it says, God will supply all your needs. Now, keep in mind, this is Paul, who at one point, what is the tail end of is it 2 Timothy, where he's talking about, be sure to bring me. And here's one of the definitions of Paul's contentment.
He says, bring the cloak I left with Carpus at Troas, and my books, and especially the parchments.
He's in jail, and he is saying, I've been generously supplied. You know, that did not include, you know, a new car or chariot.
Or
No, let's wait on that. Yeah, you probably should.
When it really stuck out when you said experience the joy of
faith. Yeah. May you experience the joy of your faith. Yeah. Andre Crouch a long time ago wrote a song called Take Me Back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first believed you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. I got saved when I was 6. I am now 60 years older than that moment. I don't remember what happened that night. I know there were tears. I don't remember, you know, exactly what took place. Yeah. And there are times when I say, Lord, give me a... And when that takes place, there the transformation is encapsulated in the sense of, you know, and it happens differently, but there seems to be a change of hopelessness to well-being, if not just utter hopefulness. But there seems to be, in fact, what is it, Ray Comfort says, if you come to Christ today and next year I see you and you haven't changed any, you probably didn't come to Christ. You know, it was a kind of a, what he calls a false conversion, because God wants to change who we are. So how are we doing? Are we different this year than we were last year? Good. I mean, if the answer is yes, it's good. If it's not really, we got work to do. Mm-hmm. So, now we didn't come to to impress you whether we could do Philippians. No. In fact, I goofed. You knew it. Somewhere up there, and I don't think I've ever forgotten that before, but it's where it says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much praise and glory, praise and glory to God. Now, I got the gist out, but it wasn't the exact words, and it puzzled me. I don't think I've ever forgotten that before in 14, 15 years. Thankfully, I'm human. I keep telling people, you know, there's a big difference between brains and computers. Brains don't crash. We didn't come to impress you with abilities in reciting scripture or because I like wearing a dress, guys, but it's, yeah, but you think that's pretty cool. We came to challenge you. How many have seen, there are familiar faces here. How many have not seen a Living Logos presentation before? Okay, there's a few of you, okay. So for the rest of you, as Peter and Paul often said, it's good for me to repeat myself. For the rest of you, this will introduce why we do what we do. We used to pastor a little four-square church in Rawlins, Wyoming people would say, well, how many people ever come into church? I said, well, 15 with gusts to 25. It's kind of like, it was real windy. It's usually real windy there, especially in the wintertime. So, you know, this morning was like, hey, welcome to Wyoming, you know? Felt pretty good and walked out the door. Ooh, look at that, no humidity. And God got a hold of us, and a friend came and challenged us. He did the book of 1 Peter, challenged us to start memorizing, and he nailed me for a book. He got everybody else for 8 verses, but he nailed me for a book. And that's where Philippians came from. This is the first book we memorized. Jenny also does Philippians. She has 6 books memorized and several psalms. And so God just said, I want you to go talk to my kids about embracing this discipline that has astounding power to change your life. And it's a discarded discipline, and that is memorizing scripture. Just memorizing scripture. Something that Jenny nor I ever thought we could do. I'm going to trip over something here. I almost put that one over on his back one time, and Steve was gasping because there was a nice black guitar back there that was right in the way. All we're going to tell you about is what's happened in our lives. It's just our experience. When we began memorizing scripture, Jenny began shortly after I started. We didn't think we could do this. Nobody, I mean, very, very few people think, you know, when you talk to them, oh yeah, no problem. What do you want me to memorize? I'll do Lamentations by supper. Oh. We are not a memorizing culture. Why? Because we've got a brain in our pocket. We don't need a brain anymore because it's there and it's 4G. Coverage. We don't need to know anything because there's this miraculous Google. Yeah. Do I use Google? Of course I do. Where am I supposed to go? Oh, there we go. Oh, and you don't even have to do that now. It's beep, Siri, tell me how to get to the fellowship in Weatherford. Would you like that in English, Spanish, Swahili, or French? German. Oh, aren't you? German. Yes. We are not a memorizing culture. We don't think we can. Except that everybody in this room has a brain filled with memorized information. You can memorize whatever you set your mind to. It's absolutely true. For some, it's a little harder than others, but it's true. And we're here to challenge you to go find a chapter of Scripture and do your best in the next, couple of months? Make that chapter your own. That was met by a tremendous burst of silence. Challenge accepted. Should you accept this assignment? What was his name? Mission Impossible, you know. Mr. Phelps, yes. Sometimes we just need someone who affirms what we are able to do that we don't think we can. This isn't positive mental attitude. This is simply God has given you an amazing thing called a brain. They've done studies on this, and from 8 years old to 88, and asking them specifically to memorize something. And they found that regardless of the age, if they asked their brain to do something, it did it. My mother started memorizing at the age of 84. So there goes that excuse. Look, it's not a drudgery. It's not a task I have to do. It's an opportunity to begin building a reservoir of God's word in you that no one can take away. Danae and I now have 16 books or portions, significant portions, memorized. That took 17 years. You can start right now. Literally, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And somebody once asked, I told him I memorized Philippians a half a verse a night. They said, well, that's not much. I said, well, how much did you get last year? I got Philippians. You know? So, oh, there you are. Don't you bite off more than you can chew. Just look, if it's a half a verse a night, do a half a verse a night and just keep reviewing. Do you know what the silver bullet to memorization is? Repetition. And it sounds boring and it sounds mechanical. And after a while, the word of God comes alive in your heart. You get 8 or 10 verses of scripture plowed into your memory where you can just speak it out. And you'll start God talking to you in ways you've never experienced before. For many, it's the most compelling reason to continue the process. Jenny?
The other key is always loud.
Yes.
Do it so that your ear hears your mouth speaking God's word, builds your faith.
That is a specific connotation of Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So Jenny is just that's actually an affirmation in that verse. It's your ear hearing your mouth speaking the word of God that builds your faith. We can attest to that. I mean, we'll go over a portion of scripture, you know, Saturday afternoon or whenever through the week, and we'll get just as beat up as anybody in this room did this morning. It really is true. The word of God never leaves you alone. It affirms, it cajoles, it convicts, and asks for a response. You know? See, God's way more interested in how you turn out than even you are. It's absolutely true. He is. He's got a vested interest in you. Jesus died so that you could spend eternity with him. So what are we doing? How are we doing? How are we doing in preparing to be, I like referring to ourselves as spendable currency for God, in the hands of God. You know, Terry was telling us a little earlier about the children's ministry, you know, the storytelling ministry, and how resistant he was at a while. And then God got a hold of his heart in a whole new way and through his wife, you know, and just said, and now he loves it. And he's seeing kids come to Christ regularly. Listen, folks, if you haven't got the life of Christ living in you and you know, Kirk, what was that? You know, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Well, what kind of reservoir you got in there for, you know? If you never share your faith, I can guarantee you, you won't see someone come to Christ as a result of you sharing your faith. Hmm? If you never pray for someone, for God to touch them and heal them, I can guarantee you, you will never see anyone come to wholeness and healing as a result of your prayer of faith. If you never do it. That would seem to be tremendously obvious, wouldn't it? So what are we doing on a regular basis, an intentional basis, to prepare ourselves for God to say, I got somewhere for you to be? You know, we all talk about we anticipate the adventure of living out this life of Christ. But how often do we hear clearly our instruction and just go do? You know, there was the "What Would Jesus Do?" WWJD a few years ago. Somebody once described adventure as nothing more than doing the next thing God asks you to do. Because every once in a while, he asks you to do a weird thing. An unusual thing. So what are you doing? What are we all doing to prepare ourselves for God to be able to tap this reservoir? What kind of reservoir have we got? Do we have the Word of God, or do we have repeated issues, episodes of NCIS? What are we filling our lives with and our eyes and our ears with? Okay. So here's the deal. Why should you memorize Scripture? One, God told you to. Over and over and over, 150 times in Scripture. Let the words of Christ and all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. I've hidden your word in my heart. Yeah, so that I might not sin against thee. Does that mean David never sinned again? Or whoever it was that wrote that? Yeah, David? I doubt it, but I can tell you what. You can't sin like you used to. You just can't get away with it. And when you do, there's always the invitation, come on back to the cross. I can take care of this in a heartbeat. You know? Number two, if you've got a heart to know the Lord and you start memorizing his word in chunks, not just little bits and pieces, you know, here and there. Look, I'm not going to take issue with the navigators. They've done a wonderful job. Dawson Troutman, is that the fellow that started Navigators? Wonderful job, a wonderful man. But we encourage people to memorize in chunks because you get this thing called context and you get the heart of the author, and God will start changing who you are. And number three, we're not guaranteed we're going to have this for any length of time. There's no guarantee that we're going to have a copy of Scripture or 5 or 10 of them around the house. If you were to lose access to God's Word, how much of His Word would you have? Only what you've let settle in here by putting it through here and using this thing to process it and get it in your heart. So how many want to join the adventure? Go find a chapter. And do your best in the next couple of 2-3 months to make it your own. And then maybe you can just spend a Sunday morning quoting Scripture to each other. And how encouraging would that be? Are you ready? I don't want to surprise anybody, so I'm going to move really slowly now. One, two. How many are on board? 3. Hands in the air. Here we go. Come on. Come back. 1, 2, 3. I think we nailed about 44%. Come, Kirk. God bless you. We do have a table in the foyer, just by way of mentioning that. We have something this year we've never had before, and that's we've got 11 different DVDs of presentations of Scripture that we have done. We have a book on Philippians. We have a music CD, but come visit us at the table. Thanks, man.